They decided that it is time to arrange for marriage. When Vishwarup learned that they were making such marriage arrangements, in the middle of the night, without speaking anything to anyone, he left home. He swam across the Ganga River, and by the time it was dawn, he was long gone. The news came that he left home and he accepted sannyas. He was hardly about 15 years old. He became a sannyasi. And when Tathmishra Sachima got this news, they were utterly brokenhearted. Because they loved the group. They loved it like their own life. Such a young sannyasi. How much broke the hearts of the mother and father? How will he be living? What will he be eating? What clothes will he be wearing? Who will protect him? They were drowned in an ocean of sorrow. And Nimai himself, he was so attached to his brother. In fact, when Jagannath Mita or Jagannath or Sadhimata would try to curb Nimai's restless behavior, he would do worse. Only person he feared and respected was Vishwarupa. He had great reverence and love for him. When Vishwarupa would smise pastimes, he would think in his heart of the pastimes of Tathmita and Gokul being acted by my own brother. So their relationship was so deep, so intimate. Nimai, beside himself in grief, weeping in separation from his brother. The neighboring people and relatives, they tried to somehow pacify Jagannath Mishra. They said, "You are the most fortunate. Your son has taken sannyas. According to the holy scriptures, if one's child takes sannyas, then 60 million members of one's family, past, present, and future, are all liberated." So you are so fortunate. But this did not pacify Jagannath Mishra. They explained to him that when one's child accepts the renounced order of life, that the noose of karma, of generations and generations and generations of one's family members. And Nimai, he saw his brother, for the sake of his parents, controlled emotions and told his mother and father, "You may have lost one son, but you still have me. I will remain with you. Become a householder and I will take care of you." And the relatives, Jagannath Mishra and Sachdevi, "What good fortune you have that Nimai is your son." Jagannath Mishra would be pacified for a few minutes, then he would think of Vishwarupa again, he would start weeping and crying. In such a situation, he had to take shelter of the holy scriptures. And he was thinking that actually no one is our son. Everything is the property of Krishna. Krishna has given me a son, and now by Krishna's divine arrangement, he has taken his own child and brought him to another place. Krishna is the supreme controller. Whatever his will is ultimately for the good of everyone. In this way, through such philosophical introspect, Jagannath Mishra sustained his life. Meanwhile, the devotees at Swetha Prabhu's home, they were devastated. Their pride and joy, Vishwaroop, had left satsang group, and they would never see again. They were crying, but at the same time, they were out of here. They renounced all material affects and attractions of this world, exclusively dedicated his life to the love and service of the Lord. Somehow or other, to pass their hearts in separation, they all gathered together, loudly crying out the names of Krishna. While they were chanting, little Nima, clothed only in the four directions, covered with dust, he was only about 5 years old at the time, he came running to Adwaita's house. They were loudly chanting the holy names, and Adwaita saw him and said, "Child, why have you come?" And Nimai smiled. He said, "Why have you called me?" And he laughed and ran out. After some days, Nimai became very serious. When Vishwaroop sannyas, Nimai stopped all of his frivolous behavior. And he became a very serious student. Day and night, he was just immersed in studying books, doing his lessons. This created very good fear in Jagannath Mishra's heart. One day he said, "Sachi Devi, our son is spending much time studying books. Because what is he going to learn reading the scriptures? He's going to learn that ultimately this whole world is illusory, that all material enjoyment and all material attachments are just bondage. With this understanding, he's going to renounce the world and take sannyas. That was the problem with Vishwaroop, always studying scripture. What would happen to him? Therefore, from this day on, I am going to forbid Nimai from ever studying again." Sata said, "How can you do that? He's only a small child. If he doesn't study, is he going to earn a livelihood? And who's going to marry their daughter to him if he's illiterate?" Jagannath said, "Oh, foolish daughter of a bum, do you not know that everything is happening by the arrangement of Krishna, not by our endeavors? Me, I'm a very, very learned scholar of all the scriptures, and we even have any food in our house. Look at people over there. They don't even know how to write a letter of the alphabet, and they live in big homes, and they have so much money that thousands of learned pundits are coming to them for donations. It is not by being learned. It is by Krishna's mercy that you acquire opulences. It is not that by being learned. It is Krishna's mercy that you get a good wife. Our son is a boy. He's a pious. Is my bird, Nimai, and stay on study and eat." So Nimai obeyed him, but because he became mischievous than ever, he and his friend were not only performing mischief all day, but they were out all night doing it. Jagannath Mishra didn't mind as long as he stayed home in sannyasi. Jagannath Mishra wouldn't correct him. At this point in his career, Jagannath Mishra just let him do anything. He said, "You could do anything you want except study." Would you like to hear a few of the things Nimai was doing? He and his little gang of friends, they would go out in the day and investigate. They'd see a nice man's house. He had an agricultural field with very first-class banana trees. They marked. Then in the middle of the night, they'd all walk out of their homes, and three boys would cover themselves together with one big sheet so they looked like a big bull. And then they'd go into that banana grove and, acting like a big bull, knock down all the banana trees. And the resident of the house, he would hear, and he'd come out and he'd see this big bull knocking out all the trees. He would chant, "Hi, hi, hi!" And then, and the boys would run away laughing and smiling very happily. But that was only the beginning. In Vedic culture, they didn't have toilets inside houses. That was considered uncivilized. They would go outside to respond to the nature's calls. So what Nimai and his friends would do is, in the middle of the night, they would, from the outside, tie shut all the doors and the windows of people's houses. When nature's call came upon them, they would try to open the door, try to open the windows. They were trapped. And this is one thing universally everyone has in common. Whether you are man or woman, whatever caste, whatever community, whatever nationality, whatever race, whatever religion, when it comes down to the basic principles of material existence, we're all brothers and sisters. So first it's a whisper. So you can put off the whisper. Then it becomes a calling. And then you have to reply to that recalling. But the doors were locked. From a calling, it became a howling. From a howling, it became a screaming. And these people trapped in their houses, but not wanting to contaminate their house, they couldn't do that. They were literally screaming, screaming in agony. And Nimai and his friends would be listening, and they would be smiling and laughing and clapping their hands and dancing, and they'd run away. Success. One day, some of the children ran to Sachimata and said, "Nimai is sitting on a pile of contaminated earthen pots." Sachimata was very much startled. She ran to that place, and there she saw used pots that were cooked for offerings of Lord Vishnu, which had all black soot from the smoke all over them, were in a big pile. And Nimai was on the top of that pile. His beautiful golden complexion was covered with black spots. It looked something like beautiful black bees over a golden lotus flower. He looked so charming. But to Sachimata, it was horrifying seeing Nimai in such a dirty place. She said, "Nimai, you are the son of a Brahmin. What have we taught you? Why are you sitting in this filthy, dirty place?" And Nimai said, in reply, in front of all the neighboring ladies who gathered around to see this scene, he said, "You do not allow me to study. So how will I understand what is clean and what is not clean? Besides that, these pots were used to cook for Lord Vishnu. Therefore, they are not contaminated. They are pure. And whatever comes in contact with them will become purified. And besides that, Mother, anything that I touch becomes completely purified. There is no place that I can go, nothing that I can see that does not become purified in contact with me. I am the all pure. Whatever comes in contact with the all pure becomes pure. And besides that, Mother, everything's one. Ultimately, this contaminated and uncontaminated and pure and impure, this is all temporary illusion due to Maya. Ultimately, everything is pure. The Lord actually assumed his identity as Dattatreya to speak to Mother Sachi this philosophy. Mother Sachi said, "My dear son, you have no understanding. My heart is breaking to see you in this filthy, dirty place. Now come down immediately." And Nimai said, "I will not come down. Because you are trying to tell me all of these things, but you forbid me from studying. You do not allow me to read books. If you want me to be illiterate, then you have to expect I will never know the difference between right and wrong." And when the neighboring ladies heard this, they were aghast. They said to Sachi Mata, "You don't allow him to study? Who is the enemy that has advised you to do this to this child? Our children hate studying. We have to do so much efforts to somehow or other get them to do their studies, and your child is so fortunate, he loves to study, and you are preventing him to do so. Nimai, stay on those pots. We're on your side." Everyone was on Nimai's side. It was a very embarrassing situation for Sachi Devi. She just climbed herself all the way to the top of the pile of soot-contaminated pots and picked up Nimai and brought him down. And he was smiling. And she brought him home and bathed him and put fresh garments on him and put sandalwood on him and then fed him nice, delicious boga. One who hears this narration of Nimai preaching to his mother on the top of the earthen pots will receive the benediction of pure devotional service. This is the word of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. At home, Sachi Mata explained the whole affair to Jagannath Mishra. The relatives and friends gathered around and said, "Jagannath Mishra, why do you prevent him from studying? After all, it's your philosophy that everything is dependent on Krishna. So if it's Krishna's desire, even if he becomes a learned scholar, he will become a householder and stay at home with you." And Sachi Mata said, "I believe that Nimai is very unhappy. We are hurting his heart by preventing him from his studies. Let him study." The Jagannath Mishra asked Nimai, "Which teacher in Navadvip do you want to study under?" Nimai selected Gangadas Pandit, who was teaching from the school of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Before resuming his studies, Jagannath Mishra performed the samskara of offering Nimai the sacred thread. When he put that thread around him, Anantashesha personally incarnated within the form of that thread to serve his beloved Lord. Nimai was given the Gayatri Mantra by his father. And then, as the samskara was fulfilled, Nimai manifested his beautiful form of Vamanadeva, attracting everyone's hearts. He went out with a begging bowl to beg alms. One day, Nimai ate a betel nut that was offered to the deities. And because betel nuts have an intoxicating effect, Nimai fell unconscious. This brought great worry to his family. They sprinkled water on his face to revive him. Nimai explained an extraordinary dream he had while in that state. He said to his mother and father that Vishwaroop appeared before me as a sannyasi of the name Shankararanya. He took me by the hand and said, "My dear brother, come with me. Leave behind this material world and all of its illusions and take sannyas, and we will travel to the holy places together." I told Vishwaroop that I'm still a small child and I'm still trying to do my studies. And besides that, who will take care of our mother and father? I will become a householder and I will take care of our mother and father. And Vishwaroop was so happy. He said, "Please go home and offer my repeated dandavat obeisances to our mother Sachi Devi." Nimai became a student of Gangadas Pandit. Gangadas was one of the greatest teachers in all of Navadvipa. Jagannath Mishra brought him, and he told Gangadas, "I am entrusting my most beloved auspicious son under your care. He wants to study from you alone." Seeing the beauty and the charming countenance of Gauranga, Gangadas Pandit embraced him. And from that day on, he accepted Nimai not only as a student, but like his own son, more than his own son. He loved Nimai with his heart and his soul. Nimai was such a perfect student that whatever Gangadas Pandit or his assistant teachers taught, Nimai, upon hearing it one time, would remember it forever. Gangadas Pandit was so proud of him. He had many exalted students. In that school was Krishnananda, Murari Gupta, Raghunath, very, very great professors and teachers and students. And Nimai instantly excelled everyone. His own teacher would present philosophical truths and various other grammatical problems to solve. And Nimai would not only solve the problem, but he would present questions to his teachers that they could not answer. And he was just a beginning student of grammar. This was astonishing. In just a matter of days, Nimai became Nimai Pandit. He would present an argument to his classmates and the teachers as well and say, "Can you refute my argument?" And they would say, "That's such a perfect argument, nobody can refute it." And they said, "Well," he would say, "No, you try." And they would try, and he would completely break to pieces all of their counter arguments. They'd say, this argument is so foolproof. It's perfect. No one could defeat it. And then Nimai would expertly defeat his own argument. They were struck with wonder. And then he would defeat that argument. And he would say, anyone challenge this? No. Nobody can challenge that. And then he would ultimately reestablish his original argument. The students and professors were convinced that no human being can possibly have such incredible intelligence. In this way, Nimai Pandit became completely engrossed in his studies. One night, Jagannath Mishra had a dream. He woke up in the morning and he was in terrible distress. He was crying, Nimai, do not leave home. Vishnu, 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 please keep my son at home. Don't let him leave home, Vishnu. And Sachi Mata said, what's happened to you, my husband? What's happened? He said, I had a dream. Please tell me the dream. He said, I saw our little Nimai. He had a shaved head and the simple saffron robes of a sannyasi. His arms were raised with tears flowing from his eyes. He was loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Nimai was surrounded by all the Vaishnavas. There was Advaita Prabhu, Srivas, and all the devotees. They were gathered around him, singing the holy names and worshiping him. Then I saw our Nimai. He was sitting on the throne of Anantashesha. And Advaita Prabhu and all the leaders of the Vaishnavas were coming, and he was placing his lotus feet on top of their heads. Then the dream changed, and I saw hundreds and thousands, millions of people in the presence of our son, worshiping him, and he was leading them all in the congregational chanting of the holy name. The shaved head and the robes of a sannyasi. Our son was inducing millions of people to completely pervade the entire universal creation with the holy names of Krishna. I saw our son bringing all of these people to Jagannath Puri. It is my great fear that our son is going to leave home to take sannyas. Sachi Mata said, dear husband, it was only a dream. You should not take such little dreams so seriously. Besides that, our son, he knows nothing but his studies. He loves his studies. Day and night he's engrossed in his study. There is nothing to fear. But this dream continuously plagued the heart of Jagannath Mishra. After some days, he developed a very high fever. There was no cure. He was on the verge of passing from this world. In that state, Sachi Mata and the other relatives were weeping and crying. They were powerless to bring the fever down. They tried everything. Nimai tried to preach to them. that death is certain for everyone. That is the power of time. Even Brahma, Shiva, and the Himalayan mountains must disappear by the force of almighty time. There is no reason to lament over the inevitable. But Nimai himself, seeing his father in that condition, was overwhelmed. He told his relatives, "Let us bring our father to the bank of the Ganga and sing the holy names of Lord Krishna in his ears. That is how we can show our true love for him." They carried his body to the bank of Ganga Devi. And under Nimai's inspiration, they all chanted the holy names in his ears. At that point, Nimai broke down in affection and love for his father. With great emotion, he grasped onto the feet of his father. He said, "My dear father, why are you leaving us? Who will I call my father ever again? Who will call me son? If you leave me, I will be all alone. Our home will become an empty desert. Who will teach me? Who will instruct me? Who will hold my hand and give me fearlessness?" Seeing his son weeping and crying, Jagannath Mishra, his heart filled with affection. He wasn't able to speak much, but he made a prayer to Lord Sri Krishna. He said, "Dear Raghunath, I am leaving this world. I have no power to do anything more for my son. Please kindly protect him. My dear Lord, I put my child's life in your hands." Then while chanting the holy name of Krishna, Jagannath Mishra's soul returned to Goloka Vrindavan. Sachi Mata broke down in tears. "Oh, my husband, why have you left without me? Why will you not take me with you? Why have you left me here? You were the light of my life. Now you have cast my entire existence into deep darkness." Nimai, seeing the condition of his mother, took her by the hand and said, "Mother, I am with you. I will not leave you. I will take care of you." Nimai's beauty, his charm, and his love was so sweet that it actually made Sachi Mata forget all of her miseries. Her eldest son left forever, never to be seen as a sannyasi. Her husband died. Now Sachi Mata, her life, her soul, her everything rested in her affectionate love for her son, Gauranga. Nimai consoled his mother with so many words of compassion. But then there was no one to even try to discipline him. Nimai became extremely restless. One day, he told his mother, "I'm going to the Ganga. Please give me amalaki oil and a garland." Sachi Mata said, here's the amalaki oil, but it will take me just a minute to get the garland. Nimai said, a minute? I want the garland now. And he became so outraged that he picked up a stick and he destroyed everything in the house. Every pot. There was rice and dal and oil and ganga water everywhere. He just crushed everything, practically into powder. And when everything in the entire house was destroyed, he started beating the walls, then beating the door. And when he sufficiently beat every part of the house, he ran outside and started beating a tree. And after beating the tree, he started beating the ground. And after beating the ground, he fell asleep. So Sachi Mata, she woke him up after a few minutes, and she had the garland in her hand. She said, Nimai, here's your garland, now go to the Ganga. It doesn't matter that you destroyed everything in the house. Actually, you have made us so fortunate. You purified our entire house by whatever you did. Now please take your bath and be happy. So he took the garland and worshiped Ganga Mata. Then he came back and she had a wonderful feast prepared for him. And after he took prasad, Sachi Mata said, Nimai, this is not my house, this is your house. What goodness do you expect by destroying everything in the house? Your father is gone, we have no income. Now there's no food left. How will I be able to feed you after this? Please think about these things. And Nimai laughed. And with a nice smile on his face, he said, Mother, don't worry about these things. Krishna will always provide for his devotees. And then he laughingly ran to play with his friends in the Ganga. Short time later, he returned and said, Mother, I have something for you. She put out her hand. He put two full tolas of gold, pure gold, in her hand. She was amazed. She was wondering, where is my son getting pure gold? She went to the marketplace to exchange the gold. But she was such an honest lady. She said, just give me the fair value price, but before you give me everything, first go 5 or 7 different places to make sure of the value and the authenticity of this gold. Then you can give me whatever it's worth. And Sachi Mata began to think, who is our son? Who is my son? Every single time we run out of all funds, he gives me gold. Where does he get this gold? Is he stealing it? Is he some mystic yogi that he just creates it? She was actually very fearful. Sachi Devi was very eager that Nimai be married. Nimai was thinking that there is no use of a home without a wife. If you live in a home, you should have a wife. If you don't have a wife, you should live in the forest or in an ashram. This is my purport. But Nimai was thinking, a home is not a home without a wife. A real home means wife. So one day he went to the Ganga to bathe. And the goddess of fortune was there in her beautiful form of Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi was the daughter of Ballabhacharya, a great Brahmin. She was performing her puja, for a husband. When Nimai came, she considered within her heart of hearts that this is the fulfillment of my worship. She bowed down to him. When Nimai saw her and their eyes met, immediately the love of their eternal relationship was awakened. Nimai told Lakshmi Devi that whatever you are offering to Lord Vishnu, worship me, because I am your eternal Lord. She offered everything to him. This was the perfect transcendental principle of love at first sight. And everything else is a perverted reflection. By the Lord's own will, he prompted one very, very learned soul named Vanamali to come up with this idea. His special service in Navadvip was to help people get married. See, this is a bona fide process. So one day, Vanamali Pandit, he came to Sachi Mata and said, your son is now 16 years old. He's of marriageable age. And I know just the appropriate bride for him. Her name is Lakshmi Devi. She's the virtuous, chaste, and beautiful daughter of the great Ballabhacharya. Sachi Mata heard everything he said and said, my child, Nimai, he's still very young. I don't think he's ready for marriage. And besides that, he's still performing his studies. So this is not the right time. Vanamali really wanted to arrange this marriage. So he was very despondent at Sachimata's disinterest. He left the house. And Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu was coming home at the time. He met Vanamali Pandit on the road. He said, are you just coming from my house? He said, yes. He said, what did you discuss with my mother? He said, this is what I discussed, but your mother was not favorable. She said, you're too young and you're not interested and you're still studying. So Nimai smiled. And then he went home. And he said to his mother, why do you think there was something wrong with the proposal of Vanamali? Sachimata's heart just blossomed with happiness. And she immediately called someone to bring Vanamali again home. And she said, what you have proposed, I fully accept. Make all arrangements immediately. So the Brahmin matchmaker went to the house of Ballabhacharya and told the good news. Ballabhacharya said, but I have nothing for a dowry. The most I can give is 5 haritaki fruits. But I can't but tell Sachi Mata, the only wealth I have is my daughter Lakshmi Devi, who I'm willing to unconditionally offer to your home. When this news came back to Sachi Mata, She fully accepted the proposal. Although there was no proper funds for a nice wedding, they had a very simple marriage. The marriage of Lakshmi Devi and Lord Chaitanya is very beautifully described in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. The Adivas, and although it was not with much material wealth, the pomp and the enthusiasm and the love and the affection of all the relatives, friends, and the townspeople of Navadvip was incredible. When Balabhacharya gave the hand of his daughter to Nimai, they exchanged garlands. They were on a palanquin together, coming back to the home of Sachi Devi. And all the people of Navadvip, seeing this beautiful couple on a palanquin, they were filled with happiness. Some of the people were saying, "It appears like Kandarpa and Rati before our eyes." Others said, "To me, I am seeing Parvati and Shiva. I am seeing Lakshmi and Narayan. I am seeing Sita and Ram." The beauty of the countenance and the virtues of these two personalities is charming everyone's heart. Sachi Mata received them at home with so much happiness. With various auspicious articles, she worshipped her daughter-in-law and her son. From that day on, Lakshmi Devi became the joy of the life of Sachi Mata. Because her son, Sri Gauranga, he was out for much of the day. When Lord Gauranga was out, Sachi Mata could not handle it. If a half hour went by where she did not see him with her eyes, she would practically go blind in separation. It was uncontrollable. But now Lakshmi Devi was there. She was the very embodiment of chastity, purity, and love. Meanwhile, the devotees, they were constantly praying that Nimai would become a devotee. He was attracting their hearts. He would love to argue with everyone on the basis of grammatical rules, but he never talked about Krishna. This broke the heart of the devotees, because they didn't want to waste a moment without speaking about Krishna. One day, Nimai spoke to one of his classmates, Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was about 15 years older than Nimai. He was a very, very great learned scholar. Actually, the amazing thing, in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's academy, where Ganga Das Pandit were teaching, it was mostly people of the age of Murari Gupta. It was very advanced study of grammar and so forth. Nimai was the youngest person there. And yet he would conquer everyone in debate. Regularly, he would specifically target Murari Gupta. It would make Murari Gupta very, very disturbed. One day, he challenged Murari. He said, "Murari, why do you sit here? Go back to leaves and vines to the sick. You're a doctor. What business is being here? Sanskrit grammar is the pinnacle, the summit of the essence of all education. You will not find in any of these books anything about mucus, bile, or indigestion. What are you doing here?
Go and cure your sick.
Parigupta.
He would say, why are you speaking like this? If you have a question for me, ask me.
And Nimai would challenge, and they would get a debate. And Murarigupta was so good, they would debate a lot. Sometimes neither one defeat the other, sometimes Nimai would defeat.
But Murarigupta was thinking, what a total waste of time. Just debating grammar. If they try to say anything about Krishna, Nimai just challenge
grammatical questions.
And in the middle of this big debate, Nimai touched Murarigupta with his hand. Murarigupta's entire body was thrilled with ecstasy. He began to tremble. All of us stood on end. Never experienced anything like this before. He was thinking, this Nimai is not an ordinary human being. He's a special personality. No human being could be so intelligent. His knowledge is fathomless, like an endless, shoreless ocean. And his mere touch is causing his heart to erupt ecstatic love. Today, I will accept Nimai as a teacher. And he came to Nimai and said, I want to be your student. Nimai said, all right, go home and see, and tomorrow I will have questions for you. Gadadhar Pandit, he was slightly younger than Lord Chaitanya. He was also very, very learned in the scriptures. But Nimai loved to attack him with all kinds of arguments. Gadadhar Pandit was such a pure divine heart. He was incarnation of Srimati Radharani. Adwaita Prabhu, Srivas Prabhu, all the Vaishnavas loved him. He was the object of the special affection of Shridas Thakur. One day Nimai would just attack people. He would just block the road so they couldn't get him. One day he just stood before the path of Gadadhar and grabbed him by the hand. I have a question for you. My question. Gadadhar Pandit said, what is the question? So what is the meaning of liberation? According to the scriptures, liberation means the emancipation of all suffering and bondage. And Nimai said, no. And he completely crushed to powder everything Gadadhar Pandit said. Any way that Gadadhar Pandit tried to defend his argument, Pandit just through incredible wordplay and scholarship defeated everything he said. And it just went on. He wouldn't let go of him. He kept him embroiled in this argument. Gadadhar Pandit was just thick as hard as hard. I want to flee this place. Nimai said, okay, Gadadhar. You go home and study your book, and tomorrow I will have more questions for you. He would harass Mukunda Dutt. Mukunda Dutt was such a sincere, pure-hearted Vaishnava. When he would sing Tan, he'd melt the heart's entire assembly of devotees. Because he sang with pure love. One day, Nimai was walking near the Ganga bank. He happened to see from a little distance Mukunda. And when Mukunda saw Nimai, he ran the other direction. Nimai walking with his students, because by this time he was not only a student, but he was a teacher. He said to his students, why did Mukunda just run away? And students said, I must have a very important moment, and he went to perform some responsibility. And I said, no, that is not the reason. It is because he is a Vaishnava. And he doesn't want to hear or speak anything about the subject of Krishna. And he doesn't want anything to do with me because I always grapple and wrestle with him in grammatical rules and regulations and various arguments. Therefore, he is trying to escape me. Then he turned to Mukunda in a very loud voice. He said, Mukunda Dutt, someday you will see I will become Sita Vaishnav.
Brahma, Shiva, Sukadeva Goswami, all the great saints will be falling at my feet, and you will never, ever, ever want to be away from my association.
His students could not understand what in the world he was talking about. But the devotees, they were so very, very attracted to Nimai, so attracted to him. It was inconceivable. They loved him more than their lives. They loved him just as they loved Krishna. But at the same time, they could not tolerate being with him. Whenever they wanted to talk about Krishna, he would just immediately challenge them with all kinds of philosophical, detailed, grammatical, scriptural debates that had nothing to do with Krishna or bhakti. It's an impossible situation. They couldn't be without him. They couldn't be with him. Every day, all the devotees would come together and go to the Ganga, pray to Mother Ganges with a single voice. Please make me a devotee. At the house of Advaita, while they would be doing scriptural discussions, or while they performed kirtan, in their heart of hearts, they were begging Lord Krishna, please make Gauranga a devotee. He's so attractive, so learned. If he becomes a devotee, he could make the whole world sing the holy name of Krishna. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.
Sometimes Sri Gauranga would see the devotees weeping, crying, and begging the deity, begging the name of Krishna, begging the Ganga to make him a devotee, and he would just smile. He's hearing their prayers.
Still, he would challenge them an argument. Now, Srivas Pandit was the age of his father. He was a best friend of his father. Srivas Pandit was like his uncle. After Sachimata lost Nath Mishra, it was Chandrasekhar, who's also known as Acharya Ratna, and Srivas Pandit that practically substituted to become like the father of Lord Chaitanya. Always lovingly assists Sachimata in providing for whatever possible required. One day, after from his studies, Nimai happened to see Srivas Pandit. Srivas Pandit said, my dear son, why do you waste your life away with these mundane scholarships? Don't you know that all this materialistic knowledge will not save you at the time of death? Human life is meant for one purpose only, to awaken pure, unconditioning service to Lord Krishna. Why do you waste your time and your life with these foolish, empty, vain pursuits? Worship Krishna. Nimai, on this occasion, was very respectful. He said, I still have a little more studying to do. But in the near future, I will meet a great Vaishnav and I will become a devotee. I know this is true because I have received your blessings. Then he took the dust from the feet of Srivas Thakur and placed it upon his head. I think we should end class now. This is the introduction to the lecture. We will begin the lecture at a later time. But I will speak one more thing. When Nimai was gathered with his friends on the bank of the Ganga, teaching them, it was such a beautiful scene to behold. The official place Nimai would teach his students was at the Chandi Mandap courtyard of a very, very great and pious devotee named Mukund Sanjay. Mukund Sanjay loved Sri Gaur Sundar with his life and soul. He just offered his home, his everything, to facilitate the Lord to perform his duties as a teacher. But oftentimes, for the pleasure of his students, he would teach right on the bank of the Ganges. Nimai had thousands of students. He was actually the most popular teacher in all of Navadvip, because the way he would teach, he was so humorous and so loving and kind and compassionate to his students that they just loved him. And not only that, but what would take 12 years to learn from any other teacher, they would master the subject in hardly a year. He was not only the greatest teacher, but he would empower his students with the capacity to learn everything so quickly and so masterfully. And more than that, they just loved their teacher. They loved him. They wanted to do anything and everything for him, and he would do anything for them. It was a reciprocation of divine affection. When he sat on the banks of the holy river Ganges, surrounded in a circle like a lotus, he was in the whirl of that lotus. And that beautiful scene of Nimai on a full moon lit night on the bank of the Ganga, surrounded by his students, was so beautiful. Bhavandas Thakur, author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, he tried to explain the beauty of that scene. He said, it's like Kandarpa, the beautiful Cupid, surrounded by his associates. No, I must reject such an analogy, because his beauty agitates the heart. But Gauranga's beauty gives peace and bliss to the heart, frees it of all material anxieties. Perhaps this explanation, he looks like great Brihaspati surrounded by devatas. But no, that doesn't work either. Because all Brihaspati is very beautiful, and he's very learned, he is partisan. He's partial to the demigods and always against the demons. But Lord Vishwar is equal to everyone. He will give his full mercy to anyone and anyone without discrimination if they simply open their heart to him. So I must kick out this example. It doesn't fit. He is like the full moon, surrounded by stars. But that doesn't work either, because the moon has spots on it. And besides that, the moon waxes and wanes. But Nimai, his beautiful golden complexion is spotless. It is perfect. And his beauty never waxes and wanes. Rather, it is ever increasing. I find no analogy in the entire creation that can simply describe the scene on the bank of the Ganga. There is only one analogy that is appropriate. It looks like Krishna. That beautiful cowherd boy of Vrindavan, surrounded by gopas on the bank of the Jamuna. then Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that yes, the students Srimai were all incarnations of the cowherd boys of Brajbhumi. And they had descended into this world to reenact their beautiful Leela of Vrindavan in the holy land of Shivadweep Dham. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki. Now it is time for prasad. We'll have 5 minutes kirtan. And then we'll continue if you can go on tolerating this. But everyone should face the deities as you're chanting.